My heart's absolutely broken for the residents in East Palestine, Ohio. Continuing the follow-up on that story that I've been sharing this week about what's going on the ground, last night, residents had a town hall with the mayor. Norfolk Southern refused to show up to the town hall, fearing for their safety. In an age where we have Zoom, ways that people can remote in, they can't even answer the people's questions of the lives that they are upending and possibly damaging. It's abhorrent. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. I am your host, Greg Bolden, here on the America Out Loud Network. As always, you can find me on Twitter, at RealGregBolden, and continue the conversation there with any questions you may have today. We're going to continue with the story in East Palestine, Ohio. Covered it on Tuesday, talked to many different residents, and today I have another resident that I spoke with, but I was trying to get to the bottom of more of the misinformation, the fear of what's going on. So let's start by kind of debunking things that are happening and where people should be fearful at the top of this story before we get into what happened last night at the town hall meeting and why I was very, very upset with Norfolk Southern Railroad. But that whole being upset with them starts much sooner. First, for my friends in Canada that are posting about how they've been coughing, having headaches, having migraines. Look, I'm not saying that it's not possible, but I'm telling you from looking at wind maps and wind patterns, it's unlikely. Chances are people in Buffalo, people that are much closer than where you are, people even in Ohio, up north in Ohio, would be experiencing similar symptoms. Where the people were most affected from both the train derailment, the chemical leakage, as well as the controlled detonation to burn off, those people live about 30 miles in a radius that goes east and south of the town. And that's important to point out here, because I have people that have been asking questions in Tennessee, you know, should we be scared? Should we be worried? Do we need to evacuate? No, everybody just relax. Take a deep breath. Relax. You're okay. However, for my friends that are in that section of Ohio, for my friends that live on the border in West Virginia, for those that are around the tributaries and streams, I think that we need to start really paying attention to things. I also know that we need to pay attention to Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Nestle, Danone, all of you grab some of your water supply from the Ohio River. I do not know exactly where that comes from. I've asked all of those four companies, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Nestle, and Danone, if any of their water is coming from the region that has been affected to do their bottling of food and beverages. It has been crickets since I asked the question. So I urge my listeners to continue the retweet, continue the post at these companies to find out if the beverages could be compromised. That's the first question. I believe Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Nestle, Danone, they owe it to the American public on where their bottling waters come from, because I've heard about 10% comes from the Ohio River. I just don't know what section. Now, for people that are like, the Ohio River's forever ruined, I don't know that that's the case either. I don't know that's the case because the Ohio River is a large body of water that's going to dilute everything, and dilution's going to end up being your friend. So, if anything, I want to kind of quell the fear that's going on in this country right now over this topic. The people that we should be focused on are the people in East Palestine. they are the individuals that right now have families, have children, that have uncertainties in their life. Who's to blame for all of this? And is, you know, I often wonder, when's it the right time to have these conversations about blame? And I think right now, people want answers. They want answers. How does something like this happen? How does a 150-car train that's over 1 mile long go off the tracks? Well, come to find out, the number one person that really should be blamed for this is the Norfolk Southern Train Company. That's it. They are the most liable out of all. And if you want to start putting some blame elsewhere, let's start talking about their lobbyist. Their lobbyist that limited regulations about transport of hazardous compounds that allowed this type of train to be going through in this manner. Or all the people that I've spoken with that are talking about how the train used to speed on through that now are saying it's noticeable how slow they're going through. Was speed a factor with the safety regulations? Well, Northern Southern paid executives millions and spent billions on stock buybacks, according to reports, all while the company was shedding thousands of employees, despite people warning them that as they became understaffed, safety risk would get worse. Norfolk Southern also fought against a shareholder initiative that would have required company executives to review the hazardous material transportation. Norfolk Southern did not show up to the town hall in Ohio. They had no representatives there. Why? Because they claimed they were fearful for their safety. I know about 5,000 other people right now that fear for their safety, but it's not because they were attending a town hall. It's because they're trying to sleep in their bed at night. It's because they're trying to give their family water out of the faucet in order to drink at night, making their ice cubes at night. It's because people are trying to shower in this and bathe, and they're not sure what they're bathing in. They're not sure they can trust the EPA or the people that Norfolk Southern is hiring in order to give the reports. But I have some news for you. I have EPA reports that have been forwarded to me. And during my interview in the second half of today's show, you're going to hear me share that information. Now, how about our elected leaders? I told you lobbyists were strong in the fact that these toxic chemicals could be on the train in the way that they were. Well, we can go back to the Obama administration back in 2014. The Obama administration actually proposed regulations that were carrying hazardous materials, regulations on trains carrying petroleum. However, the lobbyists won, and they focused on just crude oil, and they exempted the trains that had things like the vinyl chloride that we just saw in Ohio. Then in 2017, there's a different administration. We have the Trump administration, and there was $6 million from rail industry donors to GOP campaigns. I got to look at Mike DeWine and see if he was one of them, but they were backed by rail lobbyists. They've got this money, the Senate Republicans, and they rescinded part of a rule on a better braking system on the nation's railways. That's right. There is a such thing as better brakes for trains. You know how they always say, well, it takes so long for a train to stop. Well, with new technology now, Norfolk Southern, they said that they had this new technology known as electronically controlled pneumatic brakes, ECP for short. And Norfolk Southern said it had the potential to reduce their train stopping distances by as much as 60% over the currently used air brake systems. But they're lobbying at their own railway, pressed to get a rule repealed by the Trump administration that would regulate, asking them to, if they had hazardous flammable materials, to have ECP brakes. So the Trump administration and our elected officials were lobbied, and the argument won out. And guess what? It's continued underneath the Biden administration. No one has looked to reinstate the brake rule or expand What type of trains should have better safety regulations? People just simply kick the can down the road. Unfortunately, the train got kicked down the road into a small town in Ohio, and 4,500 to 5,000 lives are now being affected. There are individuals that have been interviewed here that state that ECB brakes would have reduced the severity of the accident. The railroads knew this. They tested the features. They didn't want to spend the money. It was too expensive for them. Now the railroads are going in to this small town in Ohio and asking individuals, according to the reports that I've seen on social media, which are unconfirmed reports, but happy to have people reach out to me. I'm sure that I will be able to confirm or deny these reports within the next 24 hours of the show going out. If you're one of the 340 people that's reported to have signed paperwork with Norfolk Southern, please reach out to me. If you are one of the people that said to Norfolk Southern, their representatives that came and knocked on your door offering you a financial incentive in order to sign some paperwork, please contact me at RealGregBolden or email me greg@americaembolden.com. I want to hear the story. Do not sign anything. Do not sign away your rights. There's one thing that I can tell you right now. Norfolk Southern is the party that's at fault. It's not ultimately any of the administrations. While lobbyists are a horrible part of what happens in Washington, D.C., we're all aware of it, it was ultimately the lobbyist from the railroad that caused the problem on February 3rd. It's also the same people that helped make the call to Governor DeWine to blow up the rest of the material in a controlled burn-off that has further put people at risk. When you hear the numbers of the water that was tested by the EPA and the results that came back, we're talking about 57 times the legal limit, 19 times the legal limit, and 20 times the legal limit on certain chemicals that are now not safe to drink. Despite that, they're telling people, come back, live in your homes. I'm talking to multiple people that are telling me inside their home it has a smell. You're going to hear stories tonight at this town hall of things that people were told that is absolutely horrifying. Horrifying because people don't know what to believe. They don't know whether or not to trust the EPA in Ohio. They're very concerned, and rightly so, they should be. So for those that are blaming the Trump administration, absolutely, the lobbyists won out. For those that are blaming the Biden administration, absolutely, you should, because nothing's been done to fix this. And Joe Biden is the railroad president. This guy touts how he is on top of the railroads. He helped fix the railways when they needed to be fixed with the contracts between the unions recently. Where is he? And Mayor Pete, you know, where is our Department of Transportation? Where is Pete Buttigieg. There we go. Pete Buttigieg. I always mess up that name. It's a fun one to say because when you look at it, it doesn't enunciate the way that it's spelled. But where's Pete? Right? He said that they're doing everything they can. Well, I got a bone to pick with Governor DeWine. I got a bone to pick with you because on PBS, you said you were following the science when you decided to allow the burn off. Whose science were you following? Were you following a lobbyist science when it comes to Norfolk Southern, who's owned by Vanguard and BlackRock? Were you following their advice on their science, saying that this would be the best solution forward? Asking for a friend here. I'm asking for about 5,000 friends here. I'm asking for people all along the Ohio River. I'm asking for people in the town south and to the east of where this is occurring. I'm asking for the city of Pittsburgh right now. Governor DeWine, did you call back Joe Biden and his offer for government resources for your town? I don't think people are going to like the answer to that one. You're not going to like what I unearthed after I heard this question. And Norfolk Southern, what are you afraid of in answering people's questions? We all know you're guilty as sin, right? Live up to it. So when we come back from the break here, I'm going to have DJ Yokely on with me. DJ was the person that was in charge of the live stream tonight on the town hall meeting. Now, you know, I'm recording the show the night before you're hearing it. So I asked DJ, I said, look, I know you're probably tired. I know you've had a long day of work, broadcasting games and everything, but would you come on with me to talk to my listeners, talk to America about what you're experiencing, what you heard at this town hall? DJ joined me. We had a great interview, which I'm about to play for you on the other side. There's some amazing information on here, but it's heartbreaking as well. DJ owns YSN. It's Your Sports Network, and he served that community for many years. That specific business has been in place since 2017, and they help live stream sporting events, regional internet programming, such as what I watched tonight. He's also a 38-year resident of East Palestine, and you're going to want to hear it. So stick around. I'm going to have his voice as soon as we get back from the break. Everyone, make sure that you're going and supporting our sponsors. They help keep the lights on for my show, help get you this content out to America. So go and make sure you do so. One of my favorite products, as you hear me talk about all the time, is the Genesis HOCL Fogger. It is a ability to neutralize viruses and bacteria and mold in your homes as well as in your offices. They have an atomizer. You plug it in, set it, and forget it. You can go to genesisfogger.com/outloud and get a discount on your very own right now just for listening to America Emboldened. All right, everybody, we'll be right back after the break. Once again, you're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
The Out Loud Truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. Today, I have a special guest for you from East Palestine. I was looking for a live feed of tonight's town hall with the mayor, and I was finally able to find DJ Yokely. He had a live feed up because he does sports broadcasting in the area. DJ, you are the local sports networking expert for both East Palestine as well as all the surrounding communities. Is that correct?
That's what you want to call it. I'm okay with that. Yeah. We started our business in 2017, this sports streaming side of things. And it's been awesome since. I'm based out of East Palestine, went to school here, built a home here, came back and raising a family here. So this was a little personal to me.
Wow. So how long were you living in East Palestine? You were born and raised there. Your family moved there. About what years were you living there?
Yes, sir. 38 years strong in East Palestine. And it's been, it's an awesome town. I mean, it's small town America. Everybody talks about, you know, when you think about those small towns that everybody's from, East Palestine is just like it. And that's why it makes what's going on right now so hard, is because it could have happened anywhere, Greg. It honestly could have. And, you know, I know everybody says that every time there's a tragedy, you never would have thought it happened in your town. Until it does. And, you know, this is a little bit different. This is a little bit off the beaten path of what we're used to, what everybody's used to. And I don't think many are used to train derailments that have toxic chemicals on it that you're not sure, and nobody's really sure what's on the train and how it's going to affect you in the short and long term.
Yeah, I spoke with residents on Monday and Tuesday there, both in East Palestine as well as down in Negley, calling around the local area just because I was trying to figure out the, I guess, geographical region myself, being that I broadcast from Delaware. I'm 6 hours away as far as a car ride goes. But the residents were all so kind and so nice speaking with me. And it was just this really small town vibe. A lot of people know one another, look out for one another. And a lot of people worried, a lot of people concerned. And so tonight at the local high school, thousands of people showed up and wanted to get information. Can you tell me what that looked and sounded like from your perspective this evening?
Yeah, so I'm actually still sitting in the car from what was a jam-packed parking lot here at the high school. And even on a Friday night, we don't get this many people coming to our game. So it was a little bit interesting, you know, almost overwhelming for our small town to have this much coverage. And but there's a lot of people concerned, there's a lot of people scared, nervous, because they're not getting answers, and not even answers, they're not being communicated to. And this whole thing was set up, this town hall was set up supposedly by Norfolk Southern, and at the last minute they decided that they're not going to show up because they didn't feel safe. But we're supposed to feel safe after their train crashed in our town. And I don't know if you can hear the train whistles behind us. It's like a scene from a really bad movie. You know, it's just a constant reminder of what could be again. And we just don't know.
Yeah. What was shocking to me is I spoke with one of the ladies who works at Serum Fab Incorporated, which is right next to where it derailed. A lot of people that saw the blue building on the video, that is where she was working. She had told me that she believes, from what it sounded like, that they blew up the train 2 days later in order to reopen the rail lines as quickly as possible so Norfolk Southern could be making money again. Is that something that residents are talking about, that this kind of controlled explosion to burn off the rest was really financial from Norfolk Southern? Because I think people wanted to ask that question this evening.
Yeah, there's a lot of those questions floating around of, okay, why? And why before anybody even received evacuation lifting orders that they could get back to their homes, were there trains rolling through our town? You know, they're not supposed to be able to, as I understand the law and the rule, trains are not permitted to go through towns that are evacuated. They have to either, you know, shut down or go a different route. So they knew that they were going to lift the evacuation, and there were trains. Just for reference, I got back into town. I was still watching the press conference. I live half a mile, not even, from the tracks. And by the time I pulled into my driveway, there was a train whistle going off. So if you put that in perspective, about 5:30, 5:35, there's a train going down the tracks in East Palestine before people can even get back in their homes or even finish the press conference from Governor DeWine.
Now, I also heard that the trains have been going much slower through East Palestine. Have you noticed that as well?
That I have noticed. I've noticed that on a grand scale, because when typically when the trains are going, you know, for the last 13 years or so since I've been married, and you know, living in town and doing all that stuff back here, the trains are pretty quick. I mean, they're not clogging up traffic. They're not doing anything. Now there's going to be traffic issues because the trains are going through slower, and it's backing up traffic, which we typically don't have, but there's a lot of people in town right now. It's backing up traffic 2 or 3 stoplights. So it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right. There was a comment made that I missed, but people seemed to be fired up about it this evening. It was, something about oranges, that the smell of oranges. Can you clarify what people were fired up? What was said that people want to send oranges, I believe, to Congressman Johnson?
Yeah, so I know that there, what he was trying to do was give a useful answer, right? And this isn't probably even his kind of lane to be driving in, so to speak. But there was a young man from our community, about 12 years old, that wanted to know if he's safe with what he smells on his street. And it was a very simple question, should have had a very simple answer. Congressman Johnson went to the EPA first and asked anybody if they wanted to answer. I can't recall if anybody did or not, because there was a lot of people talking. But what Congressman Johnson compared it to was everything has a smell. And then he started talking about, when you peel an orange, have you ever eaten an orange? And the young man said yes. And he said, well, oranges have a smell. And just because you smell it doesn't mean it's going to hurt you. So I get where he was going with that, Greg. But at the end of the day, one of the commenters on the stream said it best. Unfortunately, this was not a train full of oranges. We're not having this conversation if it's a train full of oranges. These are toxic chemicals that 4,700 people in this town and so many around this area in what they're calling a 30-mile radius are being affected. And we don't even know what we're being affected by. And I understand he was trying to break it down simply for the young man, but there's 2,000 people in that gymnasium that you got to be better. And you know, I invite Congressman, and I'm sure you heard it. It set me off because right. I can't get into my business because butyl acrylate or some verbiage that they're talking about, it's a toxic chemical
right.
that you're not supposed to be taking in and ingesting. It's in my business right now. The EPA was in there. We had toxicologists in there. Norfolk Southern was in there. They're giving me negative readings. Nothing's going to hurt me because they're looking for vinyl chloride. There's this odor that like you can't breathe. It's a challenge to breathe. And when you're in it for a while, you don't smell it anymore. Right. But if you go outside and come back in, you smell it again. So it's almost a sneaky chemical. And again, I'm not a chemist. I can just tell you with my experience, if you're in my building for 10 minutes, you smell it at first and you smell it for a while and it just goes away because your body gets accustomed to it. I developed headache I haven't been able to breathe in deeply since Sunday. And I'm starting to get concerned about it, thinking maybe I'm just developing a cold, no big deal, but it's not going away. And, you know, everybody else is having the same problems in that plaza, in that area. Coughs, rashes, everybody's body's reacting to it different. So while I understand that Congressman Johnson was trying to be be grandpa and sitting by the fire and explain a little bit to kids, there's a lot of adults in that room that were pretty pissed off from his answer because we're not talking about oranges here. We're talking about people's livelihoods and how much chemicals and toxins are we breathing in on a regular basis. And not only us, but our animals.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the crazy thing. The reason I got involved into this entire story is people were asking me to cover it because I'm pretty good at digging deep, and being sent videos about birds dying, fish being found in waterways. And my first part was, should I believe this? Right? Don't trust everything you see on the internet. So I started calling around, and it was the Negley Fire Department that said, yes, we've seen these videos too. Yes, they're coming from our waterways. Then I spoke with residents who told me about pets that had died from neighbors that were not in East Palestine, but neighboring communities nearby after the burn off. I started getting very concerned. So I started calling around. I've heard from at least 10 residents now. You're the 11th resident that I've spoken to, I believe, that I've complained about, and not complaining, but telling me about headaches, nausea, eyes burning. Person with fluid in the lungs, which I told them because they actually were standing alongside the fire videoing for their company when it happened. I said, you know, please go get medical assistance. Please go get checked out. That is actually one of the side effects of the vinyl chloride. Did anyone discuss with you? I have a listener that sent me some EPA numbers. Are you aware that your drinking water right now is exceeding the non-drink criteria by 57 times higher than the limit Has anyone shared that with you guys?
They have not. And is that well water or is that city water?
That's a great question. And I will clarify that. I can even send this to you. I have your email, so I'll send you this study. This all to me. But I can tell you, I'll break it down here. So, and I'm not a scientist. I don't even play one on my show. Benzoanthracrescine, also called tetraphene. The limit in drinking water is 0.012 that's allowed. It showed up in your drinking water as 0.68, which is 57 times. That's a crystalline aromatic hydrocarbon that apparently is part of a combustion of organic matter that's found in gasoline and diesel exhaust. It's found in tobacco and cigarette smoke, coal tar, tar pitch, coal combustion, charcoal broiled foods, amino acids, fatty acids, and it goes on and on, but it's a human carcinogen. That's the first part that concerns me that I was hoping they'd tell you. This other one's called chrysine. Chrysine is at the limit of 0.03. The EPA has observed it at 0.74, 19 and a half times higher than the legal limit allowed to drink. Now, chrysine is also part of this burn-off from what it sounds like. And this is toxic by ingestion, also something that could be harming people. It's denser than water, and it's also insoluble in water. So it's something that's not going to just dilute in the streams and in the groundwater. And then the third thing that showed up is called phenol, and that is allowed 1 unit gram per liter. And they observed it at 20 unit grams per liter, which is 20 times higher, 20 times higher. And this phenol is a liquid that's colorless when it's pure, but it can also appear as pink or red. So if you notice your water out there showing up with a tint, here's something that I don't know if you want to try, but it's combustible. So if all of a sudden you're getting flares off of a lighter on your fluid of your water, that could be possible. Again, I'm not a scientist on any of this, but it's highly toxic. So you have three chemicals right now tested by the EPA, and this report was finalized on February 13th. They know this, and I'm shocked. Then I'm horrified that this isn't something that's just known in the community, that people haven't shared this. The fact that this has made it to my desk to share nationally and not on the local level to share with the 4,500, the 5,000 people in your town.
Yeah. So Greg, I guess one of the biggest problems, and speaking as a resident and someone who, this is what I do, right? I'm a journalist, I'm a broadcaster. I'm used to deciphering information. There's a lot of information out there. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of people that are resharing information that you don't know where it originated from. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fear mongers that are out there. The national media is doing their thing, trying to point fingers at political candidates, saying you're not here and you're not here and you're not here. I could give any cares about, you know, who's here and who's not. All we want from a residential side of things, from our town, is to know how the wrongs are going to be righted. And I've said it multiple times during the broadcast tonight. I'm not one of those guys, and there's a lot of people in this town that could care less about how much is in their bank account. We care about how are our kids going to be able to live 20 years from now after this. You know, how are our property values going to decrease if we ever need to move for a job, or, you know, will we be able to sell our home? There's rumors that the railroad will buy our houses, and, you know, there's all kinds of rumors out there. But the one of the biggest issues is as you know, the longer you stay on social media, the more information you're going to get, and the more people dissect it, and it's kind of like playing telephone. You just never know where it originated from and what the original message was. So I know what these people are going through. They're scared. Again, they're fearful. They just want answers. And the answers that you just provided are terrifying. I'm not going to lie to you. I keep shaking my head because I'm wondering, I'm sitting there when they told us the water was okay to drink, and I gave my daughter water in her bottle. She's one. My son's four, and he's getting water, you know, and then we're driving down the road yesterday watching the press conference. I wasn't driving. I was the one, so I don't want anybody, you know, saying don't be watching stuff. But in all honesty, when Governor DeWine said we should be drinking bottled water, I've been having a hard time with that, Greg, as a father, as a husband, telling my family it's safe to come back, because those are what we've been being fed. Those are the answers we've been being fed. It's safe to come back. You can drink the water, you can shower, you know, the ground is safe, the air is safe, but I don't know what to believe. And I feel like I'm not alone in that. We're getting a lot of different lip service from different people. And there's a lot of finger pointing going on right now. And the people that have the most fingers pointing at them right now for good reason didn't show up to the town hall that they created. So That creates a whole nother slew of questions for the townspeople and hopefully for America.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that came up during your live stream, I wanted to tell you, I got an answer on. Someone had asked whether or not Governor DeWine declined assistance from Joe Biden. And so I immediately went to work. I was going to actually send a message to his press person. And I didn't have to, because I actually have Mike DeWine on record speaking about it. And he said,
Ohio EPA works with the US EPA. These are the principal people involved. The federal government is conducting an investigation to determine why this wreck occurred, this crash occurred. We await that. Certainly we'll be interested in seeing what is going on. Look, the president called me and said, anything you need, I have not called him back after that conversation. I will not hesitate to do that if we're seeing a problem or anything, but I'm not seeing it.
What do you make of that?
What don't you see as a problem here, Mike? What you've been here twice. You still don't know how to pronounce our name. So I guess that by itself is a problem to me. Is we need help. We need help. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, if you're an alien, I don't care. We're American citizens that are being neglected in our own country. We elected you, Mike. We elected you to help us, to make sure that we are accommodated, that you protect us. You did a wonderful job dancing through COVID. We loved your wine with the wines at 2 o'clock. Now, how about you get some damn help for East Palestine? How about you get help for us, the business owners who have put our blood, sweat, equity, and tears into our businesses? The people of East Palestine whose livelihood depends on the mother, the father, who can't go to work right now because they can't breathe, because they have rashes, because our people are afraid to touch them. If you don't see a problem with that, Governor, then you are the problem. I'm pissed off for my people, for the people that I've represented as a village councilman, for the people that I went to school with, for the people that taught me in this town, for the people that taught me to be the person and stand up for what I know is wrong right now. My message to the governor is get yourself in order and get us some help. And if you don't think we need it, why don't you come down and I'll show you exactly where we need help on so many different levels. And it's all because of the train derailment.
DJ, I can hear it in your voice there. What I've heard from so many people as I've been calling around, people are uncertain about the future of your town. I spoke with a couple of gas station shop owners, and they're like, you know, we're real busy. We're trying to get business back as usual, but there is an underlying dread of it not having everybody back in town yet, and not knowing where finances are going to come from. I said on my show a couple of days ago, you know, Hurricane Katrina. When something like that happens, the government, FEMA, everybody swarms in the action, National Guard, they bring bottled water in for everybody. Because I guess this is a small town in the middle of Ohio near the border of Pennsylvania with not a lot of citizens, for whatever reason, there was basically a media blackout until shows like myself and others in the alternative media started shining a spotlight, forcing the mainstream media back into covering the story. What can we do to help support East Palestine? If American Red Cross isn't jumping in, the National Guard isn't jumping in, Should we start some type of GoFundMe? Should we start some type of national thing? Is there a way that people can start supporting your business and other businesses in East Palestine right now to make sure that people can continue to put food on the table while awaiting truth of what's next? Is there any conversations, anything that you could offer my listeners as far as how maybe the outside community could send support in?
So as far as, you know, finances and things of that nature, I don't think anybody is hurting at that particular juncture. Yeah, I don't know that that's exactly what we need. I'll be honest, we don't know what we need, Greg, because nobody's telling us what's wrong, you know, and until there's a, and I don't want to say a problem, until we have a strategy on how to fix, how to get back to normalcy, we can't even develop a plan or a path to get there. So just, you know, it sounds very cliche. Keep praying, keep thinking about our small town as if it were yours. If you need something, check if there's a business in East Palestine that will ship it to you, or we can provide it. If you're close, if there's a service that a business is still open, utilize that business, support these businesses, because this is the American dream, right? This is small town America. We're building the American dream as business owners living in these, you know, white picket fence communities that have America and Old Glory flying. Like, this is where you want to live. Our title, our motto is a place you want to be. And it used to be a little city with a big future. And I feel, Greg, that we can be that little town with a big future again, but we need a plan and we need communication so we can ask people for things that will help us get back on our feet and not just relying on the railroads and the government to sit there and tell us what we do and what we don't, because they have no idea. Because as you saw tonight, they're not here. They're not here. The trains didn't show up. NS didn't show up. And because they wanted to fear for their own safety. And again, I get it. I understand. I wouldn't want to be in a place that I didn't feel safe either. But unfortunately, right now, I'm living that nightmare in my hometown.
Yeah, and I'm you know, my prayers are with you. I wouldn't be spending my evening covering this story if my thoughts weren't with you, if I didn't want to help a town of 4,500 to 5,000 people. I don't know how many exact residents you have. I know somewhere between there. But to me, all those lives matter. And I want to make sure that voices get heard like yourselves and everybody else I've been calling. And I will continue to beat this drum as much as I can to make sure that people find out more information. You know, I heard today that the Norfolk Southern Railroad has hired a company and they've gotten 340 people in your town to sign an agreement for financial aid. I want to tell my listeners right now, I've been unable to confirm that. There's a ton of misinformation, much like I called Marjorie Taylor Greene out online about the reporter that got kicked out. I also will call out any of these false reports about Norfolk Southern if I find them to be false. But I do know that from talking to other individuals that, yes, there are people on the ground offering financial resources. I just, you know, DJ, I can't stress this enough. Make sure people in your town are not signing agreements right now. I'm not sure if they talked about that at the conference tonight, the town hall tonight, but that should be priority number one. That I know that people might be like, hey, that settlement sounds really good, or the make sure that I'm taken care of, I'm going to sign this, but don't sign rights away. I've been telling everybody I can speak with about that. Whatever you do, do not sign rights away. Norfolk Southern is completely in the wrong. The train, according to even operators in the train industry, was too long. The NTSB says that they had sensors that they had turned off. There's a ton of things that have shown now that this is negligence on behalf of the railroad from the early reports that I'm getting sent to me. You know, brother, my prayers are with you. I appreciate it. I know you've had a long day. I appreciate you being a part of this. I'd like to keep in touch with you as this continues. If you hear anything, you know, let me know. Happy to get it out. And, you know, I know you have two young children as I do. My heart breaks. Like, just hearing you talk about the water, like, I'm thinking of my own kids, and that's heavy. That's some heavy stuff on my heart there. So I'm thinking of you. And if there's anything that, you know, my listeners or myself can do for anyone in your community, please email me. Let me know what I can do, and I will shine a light on it.
Thanks, Greg, so much. I appreciate you. And you're doing God's work, man. I appreciate you so much.
All right, DJ. Have a great evening, sir.
You too.
All right, Bold Americans. That was my conversation with DJ Yokley. I don't know what to do with my feelings over all of this. You know, hearing him talk about his children and the water that they're drinking, hearing his frustration over hearing his governor not getting resources from President Biden. I'm frustrated for the families. I'm frustrated for the children of these families and their futures. I'm livid with Norfolk Southern, as well as I'm livid with all these other companies that are just being complicitly silent in all of this. I don't have any other words for it tonight. I'm going to leave it with simply my guest words. DJ, thank you so much for being a part of it. Folks, you got to share this. You got to share the story out. You've got to allow the residents' voices to be heard, because unfortunately, no one else is giving them that voice. This is a humanitarian crisis, and that means we all need to step up and figure out how we're going to help. You heard me say the Red Cross isn't there, FEMA's not there, but you know what? We can be. We can help them continue to thrive and be strong. They're going to need your prayers. They're going to need your thoughts. They're going to need, possibly, financial consideration here in the future in order to keep things afloat if people don't come back. Hope I've honored your time well. Hope I've gave you some food for thought tonight. And hope that I've helped educate you a little bit on this topic. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode, everyone. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be sure you go over to my website as well, www.americaemboldened.com. Be bold, America.